Our reading for today is from Mark chapter 10. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, this day, use your word to teach us. Help us focus entirely on your word. There are a lot of things, Lord, that would try to compete for our attention. There are a lot of things that will be swirling in our minds that we could be doing. But Lord God, help us understand that, Lord God, this is what you ask us to do. To read your word. To hear your word. Lord God, seek out its meaning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk about this one man who approached Jesus. And so we're going to start out here with Mark chapter 10, verse 17. If you would, read this with me. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So this question is, simply put, what do I have to do in order to be with you in heaven? And so he's coming at from this perspective of, what do I have to do in my life? What more? And so he's coming from a standpoint where he's listening to all of his teachers, and all of his teachers have told him that this is what you have to do in order to gain eternal life. So he's hearing very, very clearly, and he's saying, what else must I do? And so the one thing, I set out to learn more about this man, is he's not coming from this as someone who's arrogant. He is not coming from a perspective of this is a guy that's like, oh, I got everything taken care of. This is a guy who honestly wants to know. He honestly wants to know. From his early days, he has set out on a journey in which he's very strict in his life. And Jesus denotes that. But interesting enough is he starts quoting some of the Ten Commandments. And this man says, I've done those. So he has taken special care in order to get all these other things out of his life and focus on what he thinks is important. The problem is Jesus knows him a little bit too much. And from Mark chapter 10, verse 21, let's read this with me if you would. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." There's a lot of things to unpack there. This is one of those things where I start losing you guys, right? The easiest way to lose everybody in the congregation is to do what? Mention money. It's the number one thing that people guard in this life. Pastor mentions money, and all of a sudden, people start looking at the bulletin, checking their watches. Trust me, when I'm preaching from here and not there, I can see your eyes. And so the easiest way for a pastor to lose an entire congregation is to start talking about money. But that'd be only half of what we're trying to talk about here today. Because this man had just a small tweak that he needed to do. And Jesus says, what? Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and just come and follow me. Take out everything else in your life and just come follow me. Would he lose anybody in this congregation? Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah, he would. He would. So each of us could look at this young man and say, it doesn't matter his age, doesn't matter if he's young, he'd lose most of us too. And so a lot of times we can take a look at the gospel lesson and say, you know what, I could put myself in this gospel reading and he'd be talking about me. But I just wanted to put it into a modern context, because I believe our culture is going through something that's probably even worse. And so I spliced together a video, and I want to take a look at it and see if it matches.
People have to understand, are you using your device or is your device using you? Can you put it down? Can you turn it off?
My biggest concern is the unfettered access to social media and cell phones, quite frankly, because there's a biology to these things that are as addictive as alcohol, nicotine, and gambling.
Right now, a family is out to dinner at a restaurant, not enjoying each other's company, but each staring into the screen of their choice, completely ignoring the family members. And this is mom, dad, and the children all doing the same thing while they continue to eat. They did it the entire meal.
You know, it's about balance. It's not that they're inherently bad, and it's not that texting or social media is inherently bad, but it's when it gets out of balance. If somebody carries their phone wherever they go, like they physically feel anxiety if they put it down, when they're with their friends and have to have it up the entire time looking at the phone while they're with their friends, you know, when they wake up in the morning and check their phone before they say good morning to the person sleeping next to them, these are problems. This is out of balance.
I'm not knocking the phone. What I'm saying is we have to understand, we have to at least ask ourselves, around the world, you here in England, wherever you are, what is it doing to us?
So, did we do okay, put it into modern context? This man had a problem with it was money and possessions. It was things that he was putting before God, things that distracted him. So the question is, today, modern culture, is this a problem? Is this a problem? You know how I knew? Just watching your faces. All you do is watch people's faces, and if you don't want to watch the screen, that means that something's going on. And so interesting enough is you can see this young man and what happened to him and what Jesus was saying. You can almost see by the context or the text of the Greek at what's going on within him and take a look and say, okay, that's the same thing that's happened to us when we see this. It's the same thing. Is that this guy could not put away something that was really important to him that he could grasp. And the problem is today is we're doing the same thing. And we don't like it. As this little clip here at the very end is we have a line of people who would rather listen to comforting lies than listen to unpleasant truths. Unpleasant truths is we've stacked so much in our lives so that God only has a small bit. And we wonder, okay, how can we do better with time management? The problem is, it's not about trying to fit in tons of stuff in our time. It's trying to find out what do I need to cut out of our time because that is the real problem. The problem can also be is we are attracted to what we have in front of us, and what this man had in front of him was the problem. But interesting enough is, look at your gospel reading for me today, please. In the Greek, this one is very interesting. I will say this is very interesting. There's a lot to read and to go through. This is pretty cool. Verse 22, it reads, "Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Here we see that a man, you can see his face literally drop. His face drops because he knew that he had great things, and he knew he could not part with them. That was a problem. He could do everything else, but the one thing that God asked for him to do that would really hurt deep down inside, he could not do. And so interesting enough is there are a couple of things. There are a couple of things. Look what happens when God says, this is the one thing that's in front of you and God. Look what happens. Look what he does. It took me a couple of days to figure this one out. So many other times that I would read scripture verses about healing, of God doing stuff. If we look at what was happening in here, why didn't the man hearing God's word and saying, you know what, that's me, keep facing Jesus and say, you know what, I do have a problem. Jesus, would you help me clear it away? He didn't look at God and said, God, I wanted away. He turned away and said, you know what? My problem is my problem. I like my problem. Where others would say, God, I believe in you, but help my unbelief. This is not what the man did. He left. He went away. I've got a problem, but I'm not going to do anything. I like where I am. And this is what Jesus had to say. This is what Jesus was saying to him. You have this in front of you. And here I am. Here, I'm right in front of you. And the man just turns away and walks away. He walks away. He walks away from God, who could have done something about it. Could have helped him. And so, you know what? That's just like all of us here today, is that we turn away from what God could do in our lives and say, you know what? I got this, Lord. I don't need any more help. But interesting enough, did you verse 21 and 22. Verse 21, no, let me go back. This is right here. This is interesting in the Greek. It doesn't necessarily read exactly like this in the Greek. There's two verbs in the very front of this verse. And the interesting thing is the first one is a participle, which usually ends in ing. And the problem with this participle, it you cannot translate it until you translate the main verb. And the main verb is beautiful here. Beautiful. The main verb here is this word agape. Agape, which if you know, there are several things that you can translate that are very close to it. One of them being phileo. Phileo is brotherly love, where you get the word Philadelphia, which is not the home of brotherly love. Also where you go one step further, and it's agape, and we talk about God's love for us, which doesn't waver, which doesn't depend on what I do for him. God agapes me. God loves me no matter what. All right? And so that is agape love. And so interesting enough is, and Jesus looking at him, loved him. Do you notice this beautiful thing that Jesus, knowing what's in his heart, is already, the main verb is loving him. Jesus loved him no matter what. He loved him even though he knew he had this problem, even though he would go back on what it is. What was the problem? So very interesting enough here is God demonstrated his love even when he knew he would turn away from him. That is our main thing we want to look at this morning, is that God loves us no matter what, even though he knows we're going to turn away from him. And interesting enough is there's so many things that can deter us. And yeah, in Mark chapter 7, look at these things. Is he lists all these things: evil thoughts, sexual sin, stealing, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, cheating, shameless lust, envy, cursing, arrogance, and foolishness come from within a person. We like to single out money, but these are the things that Jesus points out to us that can grab a hold of us, each and every one of us in here. And so this morning, maybe our focus is what Jesus can do in this room. And whether or not we're willing to turn away from that before we hear of God's love for us. And so this morning, we remember that God's love was demonstrated in this, is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love before we would ever do anything. And so we know what love is because of who Christ is. And so we can define love based on his love for us. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day, Lord God, we're looking at a time and place in our history, in our lives, Lord, where, Lord God, it's so easy to turn away from you and and not still kneel at your feet asking for forgiveness, Lord. Oh God, so many times we have turned away from you when the healing that we truly need comes only from you. Lord God, we understand that in each and every culture, in each one of our lives, that there are things that will take hold of our lives. Lord God, if you would, Lord God, we ask you during this time that we take a look at your word, that Lord God, you would help us, each one of us, take a look and see what is it that is getting in our way. In your son's name we pray. Amen.